You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster film in the last decade, then chances are that it's been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. In Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, investigative reporter Tiffany Meyer reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Donald Trump did something no other presidential nominee has ever done. He refused to say that he would respect the results of this election. Now, make no mistake, by doing that, he is threatening our democracy.
This is the Trevor Carey Show. On the Valley's Power Talk.
You know, you can't have a scandal if nobody reports about it. This is the greatest fraud in the history of our country from an electoral standpoint. And I guess you could build it up bigger than an electrical standpoint. What's bigger from an electoral standpoint? What's bigger than this? This is the essence of our country. This is the whole ball game.
It is the whole ball game. I'm going to repeat what I said yesterday. And this is what cultural Marxists do. They keep the lie going until the lie runs its course, and then it's no longer useful. And then when they're faced with, you know, like true evidence, instead of admitting that they got caught, they just flip-flop, they reverse their position. The media gives them credibility, and then, you know, they'll go ahead and just deny ever really saying the lie. And that's pretty close to it, I think. And now we got Hillary Rodham Clinton over the Hillary questioning election results, she said, is doing Putin's work. You see what I mean? It's like they have no shame.
So you have a lot of questions about the legitimacy of the election.
I do, sure, because I think as we learn more about it, we know that the web of connections between people on Trump's team and Russian representatives just gets more and more dense.
I bet you weren't thinking you were going to hear Hillary on Friday, right? Well, she was back on Morning Breath on MSNLGBT, and she cautioned former President Trump and other elected officials from questioning election results. See, here's what Hillary said. I'm going to read her words. She said Putin wants to sow distrust and sow divisiveness. When you take an oath to serve the United States, you take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. We never thought we had to worry about domestic enemies, said Over the Hill Ari. We never thought we had to worry about people who didn't believe in our democracy, in our Constitution, in our separation of powers, in our institutions, end quote, Rodham. Okay. Well, yes, we did think that. That's why you weren't elected. She can't get over herself, can she? But she's saying, hey, it's okay. You got to question. You got to question this election results. And she did it, and they did it, and they even did what I think was that 2.5 years. Mueller investigation found nothing. We've got about 2.5 months now in Arizona and Georgia and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Michigan, and they found a ton. And do I believe the 2020 election was tainted? Without a doubt. Simply based on the corruptibility of the ballot harvesting scheme that we've known about in California since 2018 that they implemented nationwide, the lack of chain of custody. All the rules went out the window. So, yes, excuse me if I'm just a little doubtful that basement boy Biden got 81 million votes. Really, I can't be a little doubtful of that. Oh, I'm a insurrectionist, right? I'm one of those.
Incited the erection. Insurrection.
Yeah, one of those. Arizona GOP chairwoman Kelly Ward gave an update on Maricopa County. We've been talking about it the last few days. The hand count portion of the audits is complete. This is Senator Wendy Rogers of Arizona on this election audit, and they are standing up down there. And I'm so glad. And let the results be the results. If the results show that, hey, one fair and square, hey, I'll shake the next person's hand. I'll shake my competitor's hand and go, you won fair and square. There's just way too many questions. We've reached out to Senator Rogers of Arizona. Hopefully she can come on next week. Very busy woman down there, though. This is an update on the election audit from Senator Rogers.
This is clearly an issue of states' rights. And our audit has been upheld in four different courts. We are doing a complete in-depth forensic audit of 2.1 million ballots. We have had, I think, over 10 states come to visit our forensic audit this past week. I've had the pleasure of hosting them. And they all want to know the truth.
Yes, they do. They're coming in from different states across America, which is very good. I mean, they got ballot problems in Atlanta. They got missing ballots, missing logs, duplicated ballot scans, even worse. But what we're going to see right now is you're going to have the DOJ. They're going to step in. They got a bunch of lawyers ready. And it's not just to make sure that people, let's make sure that people get to vote. No, they're going to go in there and defend and put as many roadblocks up, as many IEDs as they possibly can. Senator Wendy Rogers of Arizona continues here.
This is not just about correcting the procedures and the mechanisms for election integrity for 2022, but this is about 2020. This is about finding out the truth. And we have evidence. Now we need to investigate and then develop the proof. And I just say this to the DOJ, don't mess in Arizona's mess kit. Because this is our game, this is our call, and we will get this done.
Good. DOJ, though, you know they're going to have all their fingers all up in that. The ballot harvesters, we'll hear that. We know that in California. We fought against that. They have voting mules. What's a voting mule? Well, as a mule, you go out and you collect the blank ballots. You take them to a processing facility. You have them filled out, then you have them dropped off at a ballot collection site. So big difference in what a harvester does and what a mule does.
All of us here today do not want to see our election victory stolen by emboldened radical left Democrats, which is what they're doing, and stolen by the fake news media. That's what they've done and what they're doing. We will never give up. We will never concede. It doesn't happen. You don't concede when there's theft involved.
No, I agree. Senator Rogers.
They won't stop our bills. This is our legislature right here. This is Arizona, and we will put through our own bills. And as far as the DOJ is concerned, what we really need them to do is be down on the border, stopping the drug traffickers and the human trafficking, which is absolutely horrible. And I took an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I know what the role of the federal government is and should be, and that's where they need to be.
That's a state senator fighting. I wish we had more here in California that would fight like that, because she's going to have a lot of pushback, as she said, from the DOJ. Now, we were talking yesterday about this cell phone data, and if you watch any kind of Dateline or 48 Hours or any crime show, how many people today get caught, get busted, go away forever, life in prison, get the death penalty, because they bring their cell phone with them and that data, and you can track it. And these vote mules that are going around getting empty ballots, there's a geolocation, there's mapping here. And, you know, we got different ways to find out. DOJ, you know, they'll be fighting that, though. As we have seen, there's a lot of ballot collection sites have the closed caption TV systems as well. I mean, those are everywhere today. Senator Rogers just explaining how this whole process plays out here.
Here's the deal. Here in my chamber, the state Senate, we have a very narrow, the narrowest of majorities. We have 30 people in our state Senate, and it is the state Senate, that chamber, which is endowed with leading the charge on this audit. We only have 16 Republicans against 14 Democrats. And so we are in a very precarious situation. And because we have that one vote majority, was the reason that we were able to go through with this. So Arizona really is at ground zero. We're at the pointy tip of the sword, getting to the bottom in an unprecedented way. We have had the ballots counted. We are having them forensically examined. The paper, the indent where the oval was filled in, whether or not it was done by a human or a machine, the alignment of the print and the folds in the paper. This is all extremely time-consuming and very precisely done. Also, people don't understand, this is an all-hands-on-deck proposition. Everyone is coming to Arizona to see what the gold standard has been so that they can replicate it in their states. And every table, you've seen these colored tables with the Lazy Susans going around, the three counters at every table were actual Maricopa County voters who voted in the last November 2020 election. And we don't know if they were Republican or Democrat, because this is for America. And we do this because we love our country and we want accountability.
So true. Audits aren't Democrat or Republican. Audits equal facts. Facts equal the truth. And it doesn't matter if you believe it or don't want to believe it. Facts equal the truth. And some people's truth could be turned upside down. And I'm going to keep giving you the truth as these audits come out, the issues and the problems, and how much the Department of Justice with Attorney General Merrick Garland, he knows what a powder keg could explode if we it just turned out that, yes, what many people have been crying out loud and then been shut down, fired for, scorned from family members, told, shut your mouth, you can't say that. Actually, what if it turned out it was manipulated? What if, you know what, how many facts do we have on Hillary and Russia and Joe Biden and the Ukraine and Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and China and the laptops and the emails and Hillary's and her private server and Comey? And I mean, and nothing ever happened, right? So they lied about COVID. Nothing ever happened, right? But it doesn't mean that we stop exposing it.
And the reason they want to silence us is because of the election. It's not because of other things. It's because of the election. Cancel culture, call it what you will. But the reason is because of the election, because they know the results. They know what really happened. That's why if you go to any place, you see the kind of fight that the Democrats put up. They don't want recounts. They don't want forensic audits in particular. They don't want it. But in Arizona, you have incredible people. Karen Fann, Senator, Sonny Borelli, Senator, so many others. These are incredible American patriots. And let's see what they do. That's their audit. It's not my audit. I have nothing to do with that. It's their audit. They have done an incredible job. They are really being pushed by the people of the state, because the people of the state don't understand the election. And that's a good thing to be doing what they're doing, because they have to understand the election. When they don't believe in the election, that's a very, very bad thing for our country and for democracy. And I just don't think people are going to let that happen. They want to know how the election turned out and why it turned out that way. And if there was cheating, if there was fraud, they want to know about that.
Hillary Clinton questioning the election result is doing Putin's work. Well, I'll be. Hey, keep your mask on. What's on the inside of those masks? Well, some parents sent their kids' masks to the labs and got some results. It's disgusting. We'll talk about it next. And coming up, bottom of the hour, gubernatorial candidate Major Williams.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
And to top it off, before we round out this hour, why Fresno, California drivers rank as some of the worst in the country. That's a headline that I saw today. I don't agree with that, because I've driven around this country. I'm not going to say even close to being the worst. Most cities in California have that feeling of forward progression. Like everybody, at least everybody's trying to move forward. You got a lot of states where their state motto is not forward progression. I mean, the whole feeling of the state is everybody's going to get going here in just a minute. So I applaud California for your forward progression. We'll get more to that. And also, gubernatorial candidate Major Williams is going to be coming up here at the bottom of the hour. His campaign rolling through town. He's got a charity event that he's going to be at and also campaigning. So he's going to come on in here as well. Cal OSHA votes to end the face mask requirement in the workplace for the two-tiered society, that is, vaccinated only. They decided yesterday to allow fully vaccinated workers to take off their masks while at the workplace. Newly revised guidelines, because as we now know, science changes daily, correct? I mean, are we right on that? I think we are, aren't we? I think so.
We need to get vaccinated.
Okay, that's the science today. Vaccinated employees not required to wear masks while indoors, except where California tells you masks still need to be required by all people because it's over. We reopen, right? We've reopened. No, only for volunteers of an experimental vaccine that has already killed over 4,000 since January in the U.S. We've reopened for that. You know, we have a separate but not equal two-tiered society being developed in California right now. Because if you have not been vaccinated, then that means that you have to go ahead and put a mask on while you're at work. And employers need a document who's vaccinated, but they're not required to retain copies of the vaccination card. But they can allow employees to self-attest a full inoculation. You know what they're doing, right? I mean, it's, come on, the writing's on the wall. And they're getting businesses to build their state database of who is and who isn't. We've been telling you about it. You know, we knew the vaccine passport was coming, or whatever, Excelsior, or whatever they want to call it here in California. We knew that they were coming with it. They're not going to give up control. No way. They're not going to do that. So employers also need to make COVID-19 testing available to unvaccinated employees when they have symptoms. And employers will have to provide umbrellas even when it's not raining. I mean, this is right in line with California on day 457 of the not opening of this state. A group of parents down in Florida sent their kids' face masks to a lab, and I think the word's disgusting. University of Florida did an analysis on it, and I mean, what would not be disgusting about putting a rag over your mouth for, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours? They detected the following. Ready? Pneumonia, tuberculosis, meningitis, keratitis, and amoebic encephalitis. If I can't pronounce some of these, it means because they're really, I guess, serious, right? Yeah, the more that you can't pronounce it, the more serious it is. They found bloodstream infections, resistant to antibiotics, food poisoning, Borrelia burgdorferi, it can cause Lyme disease, diphtheria, Legionnaire's disease, staphylococcus, I've heard of that, meningitis, contaminated with these bacteria, these parasites, these fungi, these pneumonia-causing bacteria that we said all along that, you know, even doctors, dentists, when they're done, what do? They throw them in the trash, don't they? They throw their mask in the trash because they're not, you don't use it again. Hey, let's all raise our hands. How long did you go with your mask? Did you go a month? Did you go a week? Do you wash it every day? Do you have 8 of them that you cycle in and out and only wear a clean one every single day? And how clean is it, even if it's gone through your washing machine and dryer? I mean, come on. It's not complete sterilization. This is it's something very 1984 to see little young kids with their face coverings on. And I still can't believe I tried to go out and find a vacuum today. How many people, I didn't find one, by the way, how many people had masks on? I mean, outside in the parking lot, 112 degrees, and they're walking around with their mask on. He wants to change this guy's office address.
When this pandemic ends, and it will end soon, we're not going to go back to normal.
Yes, he's California gubernatorial candidate. We're going to have him back on the show, Mr. Major Williams. He's coming up next.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster films in the last decade, then chances are that what you watched has been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. Film scenes get completely altered. Films get canceled or lose funding. Actors supporting human rights are banned. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in uncovering the impact of this campaign on our society and highlighting the brave souls fighting back and turning the tide. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You're listening to The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
He wants to send Governor Newsom packing. We're talking about California gubernatorial candidate back in the Valley, Mr. Major Williams. Sir, welcome. Good to see you again.
Thank you so much for having me. Great to be back.
Hey, is that your 112 degree suit right there? I mean,
yes, it is.
A little lighter material.
It fits me like a track suit now.
I think the first time I saw you, and I'm going to say it every time that I see you, when you saw a businessman Donald J. Trump running for office, he always looked presidential. Every time I see you, you look like a governor. I mean, right now, I would be like, okay, who's this guy, the governor? And that's an A-plus for carrying yourself well.
For sure.
And kudos. Now, you know about heat, don't you, in Texas? Born in Dallas.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Tell us the Major Williams story. What year were you born? Because I remember last time I said you look a little younger than your actual age.
Right.
Another good compliment.
Right. Well, Dallas, Texas, I was born in 1977. So a lot of people think I'm a lot younger. I just turned 44 in May. Single parent household, have three sisters, three amazing sisters. And my mother, she did an amazing job with what she could. Was in the sports very early. We wasn't really,
What sport did you excel at?
Excelled in basketball. I loved all sports, but basketball was like my main thing, even though I was really short at
the
time.
So let me see, 1987, you were 10 years old. That, yeah. Were you a Lakers Celtic? Were you a Dallas Maverick? What were you? Were they around then?
No,
the Mavericks?
We didn't have a TV. So I didn't really get caught up into that until I was like 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So at 10, I didn't really know. But I was just at the park every day playing, you know, little league games and stuff like that and whatnot.
Now, when did you guys move to California, or did you move here as an adult?
Yeah, I came here as an adult 21 years ago on a visit. So it wasn't to move. It was actually to come out here and visit because I was looking for a change of scenery. I didn't make it in professional sports the way that I thought that I would. And so I didn't want to go home immediately. And I just said, you know what, let me go to California and change the scenery around a little bit. And on the third day, I met my wife. And that's history. I never went back.
And that feeling, we were talking about that. That's a beautiful love story. But we were talking about that thing when you're a kid. I remember being 13, sitting at Dodger Stadium going, the guy next to me, he doesn't even know who he's sitting next to. I'm going to be out there one day. You know, I believed it. And then when the high school curveball left me standing there with my jockstrap around my ankles, I realized, maybe I'm not going to be at Dodger Stadium. But isn't that a sad dream for guys and gals, to swallow when you really do believe you're that good?
I know, but I will say just being brought up in faith, I just understand when things happen for a reason, And if I would have been a sports player, I probably would have never met my wife and had the kids that I have right now and been able to have the struggle and the growth and the opportunity to be who I am today. So
I tell you, baseball brought me way closer to the Lord, because every time I stepped up, I said, dear Lord, please let me make connection with this ball in front of all these people.
Amen.
Here, hey, we got I'm going to say it's kind of illegal in a campaign season for a candidate like Newsom to be bribing voters with money. I mean, he's throwing it out like Big Daddy Warbucks.
Yeah, I think it's a sad case at this point right now, because we know what he's doing. And I'm hoping that California voters are acknowledging that. For some reason, he thinks that we're all dumb, deaf and dumb and blind and things of that nature by just free, 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 free. And the lottery thing was a joke as well. You know, to get on there and have a game show type of theme. It's just a slap in California's face. And it's just a continuation of misguided leadership. And I'm hoping that we do the right thing once the recall election actually happens.
Yeah, I was waiting for him to say, Johnny, call him on down, right? You're the next contestant on Let's Get Everybody Not Looking at how I Handled the State. That's what he's doing. Big time distraction. Outside of this unconstitutional man-made lockdown, what in your opinion, Mr. Williams, are Newsom's three biggest failures in this state?
Well, one of the failures is having the ability to connect from a leadership perspective. When you're in a state this big, you have to understand that different regions and different counties need different type of governorship. He has implemented a one-size-fits-all perspective, and so that's one thing that he is a total failure of acknowledging. I believe that also his mismanagement of our budget, you know, understanding the budget and making California business friendly. And also just even here on the Central Valley, when agriculture and water as well was something that is going, a lot of farmers feel like they're going unheard, so to speak. So he's been failing in a lot of different areas. And look at EDD as well. You know, they have mechanisms in place that as what was like $80 million plus dollars that was stolen from that, because
I think that was just from a few cell blocks inside a prison somewhere.
Right, exactly. So it's a continuation of a laundry list of items in regards to his failure.
Anything that whether it's the DMV, the employment development, you know, the stimulus money, California, you know, well, it is actually what the world's eighth largest economy, are we the, I don't know.
Well, it's fifth largest economy.
Fifth largest economy.
Quickly slipping to six.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it's not like we're trying to do Rhode Island or Vermont here. They can't handle it. It's obvious they can't handle 39 million people and able to handle business.
Right.
And that starts at the very tip top. You just answered one of my following questions. I was going to say, convince us here in the Valley that you understand the issues of the Valley, but you already brought up the water issues, which just aren't a Valley issue now in California.
Absolutely.
We got a statewide drought. You're driving around this state. You're
Absolutely.
Not seeing puddles or big lakes. Lake Orville up there, one of our most important.
Right. Which I visited.
You did?
Yep, I did go up there and visit just
no
to see,
water
it, see it for myself. No, absolutely not. And, you know, we're going through another drought, you know, right now. And then in addition to understanding the water issue, understanding forest management as well, we're going to hit another dry patch. There's going to be more fires coming about as well. But I just think it comes from lack of proper planning and also having the vision and the foresight to have the available emergency supplies available for California, which he's greatly failed at.
You know what, it doesn't amaze me anymore, but after what we went through last late summer, fall with the fires here, I mean, the Creek Fire, devastating. I really thought there'd be an attitude of all hands on deck, kind of an emergency,
right.
Like every able-bodied man and woman, help us pick up brush from the forest floor and we'll pay you through the Biden stimulus money.
Yeah.
You know, the all
yeah.
hands on deck emergency kind of situation.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Well, a great story an individual shared with me. He was like, you know, my house is on fire. And he knew that his house wasn't on fire. A field behind his house was on fire. He called the police, the fire department, and the fire department took 2 hours to show up. And he asked, what took so long? He said, because they were trying to figure out who jurisdiction it was. So that lets you know the regulations that are in place.
Well,
and even a protocol is out of whack.
I have an idea. Let's run all that through the DMV.
Oh, my gosh.
Could you imagine?
They never show up.
You've been driving around. You saw dried up Lake Oroville. Now, as you look out your campaign vehicle there, do you see the transient panhandling problem? Where would you say in your mind, you're like, I took a mental snapshot and I couldn't believe what I was looking at, it, that it's in America, much less California. Do you remember like a shocking moment stuck in your head that you're like, I can't believe what I just saw when we drove by?
Yes, there was an underpath, and typically you see the tent encampments under the underpath. There was an individual who built a mini house, on the side of the freeway. It had stairs. It had a slide with a little baby pool at the bottom.
Kind of like how the Aztecs built into the side of the hillsides.
It was like a bunch of junk put together, but it was a house built on the side of the freeway off the hill part of it, and that was his house on the hill with a great view of all of us driving by.
I tell you, for months here, our mayor, Jerry Dyer, got cleaned up, worked with Sacramento, but here on the 41 freeway here, do you remember the old 1930s when the Okies came west and you'd see them on the side of the road with all their clothes hung up on lines? You remember that
real poverty look? I've seen pictures, yeah.
Well, I didn't think you remember driving by, but yeah. But I've seen pictures as well. How old do you think I am? They were up on, that's what it looked like on 41 right here.
Wow.
I mean, you'd see campfires and people grilling and...
Wow.
Like four or five grocery carts in a row with, as anchoring their lines.
Well, we had another situation in Echo Park in L.A. where they had all these tent encampments, and they literally had small, like, chicken fences around their tents. So they had, like, that was their community. It had fences around it with a little door and everything. So it's getting out of control.
Well, I the creativity was amazing how people, but amazing that they were allowed to do it. Our city council here passed a no camping ordinance a few years ago, but then the Ninth Circuit overturned it that unless you have enough rooms available, you can't tell somebody they can't sleep out wherever. Now, I guess, what do you think of Newsom, Project Room Key, where they're,
yeah,
like here in Fresno, we're buying hotels, yeah, and giving them, is that the answer? Is that a temporary answer? Where do you stand on that?
Well, I believe it is a temporary answer, and it's definitely fitting of a, metaphorically, a Band-Aid, which is what all of his ideals are. There's no long-term solutions. Within our Restore California plan, we actually have solutions that's going to bring housing to these particular areas, mainly like 3D housing, which takes only 48 hours if the infrastructure is there to build those particular housing, which is going to get those individuals reacclimated back into society with mental health hospitals, drug and rehab facilities, and also wraparound services. So those are more long-term visions that we have that can be implemented right now that could change the whole dynamics of a homeless crisis in our entire state.
I find that 3D stuff amazing. How much would that 3D housing that you're talking about, what could you put a low-income one-bedroom together for? Ballpark.
Under $60,000.
Under 60. Do you know right now that they're that exact number, 60,000, is what they're, when they buy the hotel, 60,000 per hotel room to refurbish,
yes,
it. And I'm talking about, bed, dresser, TV, mm-hmm, just your simple little setup, microwave.
Yeah.
60,000 per room, 450,000 per low income apartment,
yeah,
here. And in LA, it's even more than that.
Absolutely.
I mean, isn't that some Tony Soprano stuff going on when something's costing that much? It has to be.
It really is. It's a monopoly, and it's sad, and that's why everyone is really pushing for a different narrative when it comes to leadership.
Yesterday I did a segment on the Great Society, LBJ. We spent $22 trillion since then on poverty, and what do we have to show for it? People going, we need to spend more money on it. I don't understand the concept.
And the reason being, because even in government now, especially here in California, we look at homelessness like a business. Anytime you look at something like a business, there's going to be more incentive to actually keep it going. Only until we change our mindset and have individuals with creativity and as far as a leadership role, they'll understand that homelessness crisis has to be treated like a service. When it's treated like a service, there's checks and accountability attached to it, because you're looking for the results based upon what you're putting into it. Right now, there's no checks and accountability because it's a business. It's a money machine. What more money can we get for this program, for this housing, for this project? And everyone's padding their pockets.
So if I'm picking up what you're throwing down, you're saying there are like a, maybe in perfect times, we might have 100 homeless advocates, but now we have 1,000 homeless advocates who would lose their business card and their expense account and their office and their paycheck if we actually cured this.
Absolutely. So it's an industry. It's a homeless industry. Like, people go and they graduate from college or whatever, and they want to go into this particular industry because it's well-funded.
You know, when we think of illegal immigration, people always say, well, you don't leave your front door open at night. You know, that analogy. Let's look at the transient panhandling drug issue we have in California. If that was one of our brothers or our nephew or a family member laying in our front yard like that, would we think, you know what, if we could just get them in a hotel room, everything's going to be fine. If we could just get them an apartment, we would know that, man, it's going to take some counseling. We're going to have to get them in. We're going to have to watch them, make sure they don't sneak out and inject.
Right.
I mean, you got to get hardcore if you really right. love them. Now, right. if you don't love them, you go, hey, there's an injection site here. Let me give you the directions.
Right.
Go safely. Inject yourself.
It's definitely a process. If you don't have multiple layers in place to remedy the problem and bring some kind of reform, we're going to continue to have a perpetual cycle across the entire state. So even if it was a family member, mom, I would want them to go through those proper steps,
yeah.
especially if they needed help from a mental perspective, from an alcoholism perspective, and from a drug perspective. So they get fully reacclimated back to society, because everything else is a Band-Aid.
Now, Major Williams, you're here in the Valley to also campaign and to also help. Talk about the charity you're here to
Absolutely.
Work with.
So every time I get an opportunity to add value or support a great cause, I'm willing to do it. I'm here to support my good friend Lamont. He has it's called a Playground Academy, Fitness Academy. He's doing a grand opening for that. And so, unlike the leader, Governor Gavin Newsom, I like to teach or promote wealth and health and wellness, so to speak. And so, with him doing this for the kids, especially after this long year of lockdowns, the kids going through anxiety, depression, and suicide rate going up.
Wow.
So anyone that's doing something that's giving back to the community and for the kids, I want to support that wholeheartedly with my nonprofit. So we're collaborating tomorrow, Major Kicks for Kids, and also with his new company. And it's Playground.
Playground Training Academy.
It's going to be in Clovis. It's going to be a great, great event. I'm sure a lot of people are going to come out and have a good time. I may even do a backflip myself.
Well, look, you right there. So you're into health.
Absolutely. Big time.
If I offered you a Twinkie right now, you'd say no thank you.
Absolutely.
All right. Major Williams, website, sir.
Majorforgovernor.com. We need your support. Become an ambassador, $5 a month.
F-O-R, the number four.
Yes, F-O-R.
Major F-O-R, Governor,
yes.
.com. Good to see you again, sir. Thank you for being in town here.
Thanks.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Thank you to have Major Williams in, Major for Governor, F-O-R, majorforgovernor.com, and he's got his big event going out in Clovis as well. Well, a sad story, a 10-year-old little boy killed walking with his family, 11:30 last night, Friant Road area. And we were just talking a few nights ago, you know, I can't believe how many people actually ride their bikes, go around with a stroller in a right next to traffic that's going, you know, 40, 55, 63 miles an hour, and they just live their life on the sides. I'm hearing they have identified a suspect in that hit and run last night, that 10-year-old little boy. Fresno is on the latest list of cities with the worst drivers in the United States. Again, I've driven pretty much every area except the Pacific Northwest that I visited up there. I haven't like lived and driven around, but I give California and Fresno kind of a B plus, maybe even an A minus for forward progression. Because have you spent any time 60 miles outside of Buffalo in Wyoming County, New York, where they say there's more cows than people, and it's true, just like Tulare County. But they, you get behind some of that traffic. You know, your phone will tell you your 28 minutes trip. It will take you an hour and 28 minutes because they have no thought process of forward progression at all. It's just not part of their life. So. Let's keep that balance when we go ahead and say that we're some of the worst in the United States. But see, they base it on rates of accidents, DUIs. That's what gets Fresno, is the DUIs. They factor in speeding tickets and citations. Fresno was 6 on the list of 35 worst driving cities. But we had company here in California. We were beaten by Riverside. They were second. Or maybe, I guess, if we're not, we beat them, right? Yeah. We're 6, they're 2nd. Bakersfield, number 3. Sacramento came right behind Fresno at number 7. Other California cities rounding out the top or bottom 35 were San Diego at 14th, San Francisco Bay Area at number 33. Insurance quotes from drivers in the 70 largest cities or metro areas in the United States. What happened was is that we got too many people getting behind the wheel intoxicated. That's what gives us our big low ranking right here, you know. Driving under the influence, we were the 5th highest rate among the cities in this study. We're 14th for moving violations. We're 20th for accidents and speeding. And where do you think the number one on the list was? I think, what was that? Bakersfield was number 3, Riverside number 2. Fresno number 6. So you're probably thinking out here. I was very surprised to find out what the number one on the list was. Omaha, Nebraska, number 1. A lot of accidents can happen because they got a lot of ice and whatnot as well. But this police found the car they believed was used in this crash last night, in that hit and run crash that killed the Fresno boy. Authorities have identified him as 62-year-old Raymond Celaya, C-E-L-A-Y-A. They got a tip that the car was spotted on Emerson off West and Ashland just this afternoon. It had damage to the front right side. Investigation going on. Killed a 10-year-old boy last night. It happened intersection of Frying and Fort Washington. And they say a family of 5 was crossing Fryant to get to a store at Fort Washington. As we've seen, I tell you, people fly, man, around this city as well. We're going to get into some of that reasoning, maybe why some people drink, get behind the wheel, why people do drugs. It's to heal some pain that's in them. I mean, of course, the high is the high, but what does the high do? You don't have a parachute. You fall. You crash. Flynn Anderson from Pain. We're going to talk to him next.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster film in the last decade, then chances are that it's been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. In Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, investigative reporter Tiffany Meyer reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.